Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Lombard Street, A Description of the Money Market by Walter Bagehot, is a foundational work on how modern financial systems function under stress. Written in the context of Victorian Britain, it examines the city of London as the center of global finance and explains how money markets, banks, and central institutions interact to create credit, confidence, and occasional panic. Bagehot focuses especially on the unique position of the Bank of England and the practical realities behind financial stability, rather than abstract theory. The book is best known for its clear account of why crises erupt, how liquidity vanishes, and what a central bank should do to stop a panic from becoming a collapse. Although the institutions and terminology reflect its era, the underlying mechanisms are familiar to anyone who has followed modern bank runs, lender of last resort interventions, or emergency liquidity programs. As both analysis and policy argument, it remains influential for economists, policymakers, investors, and readers seeking to understand the logic of financial crises. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the money market actually works. Bagehot explains the money market as a living network of short-term lending, deposit-taking, and bill discounting that turns idle cash into working capital. Rather than treating finance as a single pool of money, he distinguishes between reserves, deposits, and credit instruments that depend on confidence. The system works smoothly when participants believe they can convert assets into cash quickly, but it becomes fragile when everyone wants cash at the same time. He also emphasizes the practical role of specialized institutions and habits, including the ways firms and banks manage daily payments, settle obligations, and roll over short-term funding. This perspective helps readers understand that a money market is not only about interest rates, but also about trust, conventions, and the speed at which obligations circulate. The book's value here is its realism. It describes why liquidity matters more than profitability in moments of stress, and why seemingly safe assets can become unsellable when fear rises. Even for modern readers, the core message remains that market plumbing and institutional routines determine whether credit flows or freezes. Secondly, the Bank of England and the centralization of reserves. A central argument is that the stability of the British system depended on a highly centralized reserve held at the Bank of England, whether people acknowledged it or not. Bagehot describes how other banks and financial houses effectively relied on the bank's cash position as the ultimate backstop, creating a single point of strength but also a single point of vulnerability. When reserves are concentrated, the central institution becomes the place that must act during a panic because it is where the final supply of liquidity sits. He explores the responsibilities that come with this position, including the need to manage reserves carefully in normal times and the need to respond decisively in abnormal times. This topic clarifies why central banks are not just another bank, but the anchor of the payment system and the guardian of convertibility between bank money and cash. For readers today, this framework connects directly to questions about reserve adequacy, central bank balance sheets, and the difference between routine monetary policy and crisis management. The book highlights that the architecture of the system shapes the central bank's duties, even if laws and public rhetoric lag behind reality. Thirdly, financial panics, bank runs, and the mechanics of fear. Bagehot treats panic as a predictable phenomenon rooted in uncertainty and the desire for immediate safety. A bank run is not only a judgment about one institution's solvency, but also a collective rush for cash that can overwhelm otherwise sound balance sheets. He explains how fear spreads through interconnected obligations, turning cautious behavior into a self-reinforcing collapse of liquidity. The key mechanism is the sudden refusal to roll over short-term credit and the rapid conversion of deposits and bills into cash. Bagehot also examines the social and informational side of crises. When people lack reliable knowledge about who is safe, they assume the worst and hoard cash. This makes the crisis less about fundamentals in the short run and more about confidence and coordination. His discussion helps readers separate solvency problems from liquidity problems while also showing how liquidity stress can create solvency failures if left untreated. The practical takeaway is that crisis response must address psychology and incentives, not only accounting. In modern terms, the book provides a lens for understanding why interbank markets freeze, why spreads jump suddenly, and why official reassurance alone often fails unless backed by credible action. Fourthly, lender of last resort, principles for stopping a crisis. The most enduring contribution is Bagehot's policy guidance on how a central bank should act as lender of last resort. He argues that in a panic, the central institution must be willing to lend freely to solvent parties against good collateral, at a high rate, so that liquidity is supplied without encouraging reckless behavior in normal times. The purpose is to break the cycle of fear by proving that cash is available, which reduces the incentive to hoard and can stabilize markets quickly. The high rate serves as a penalty that discourages routine dependence on emergency lending, while the insistence on good collateral limits losses and supports legitimacy. He also stresses speed and clarity. Hesitant or ambiguous support can worsen panic by signaling weakness. This topic remains relevant because it frames the trade-offs of crisis tools used today, such as emergency lending facilities, discount windows, and broad liquidity programs. Readers can use these principles to evaluate real-world interventions, asking whether actions were fast enough, targeted enough, and structured to preserve long-term discipline. Baykat's approach is not about saving every institution, but about saving the system by preventing illiquidity from becoming a generalized collapse. Lastly, banking structure, moral hazard, and the limits of reform, Baykat explores how the structure of banking shapes both stability and incentives. When many institutions rely on a centralized reserve, they may take comfort in the expectation of support, which can weaken private prudence. At the same time, the economy benefits from a system that allows credit to expand and payments to run efficiently. He highlights the persistent tension between safety and dynamism, and he is skeptical of purely mechanical reforms that ignore human behavior and institutional realities. This discussion anticipates modern debates about moral hazard, regulation, and the boundaries between market discipline and public backstops. He also considers why certain reforms that seem sensible in theory may fail in practice, because they conflict with entrenched habits, competitive pressures, or political constraints. The value for contemporary readers is the balanced perspective. He does not treat crises as mere accidents, nor does he assume they can be eliminated entirely. Instead, he suggests that systems should be designed to absorb shocks and that public institutions must accept responsibility when they are the de facto guarantor of liquidity. This topic helps readers think about capital buffers, reserve requirements, and resolution regimes as complements to, not substitutes for, credible crisis response. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand the core mechanics of banking and financial crises, including economic students, policy professionals, investors, journalists, and curious readers who have followed modern turmoil and want a clearer framework. It benefits the reader's life by sharpening financial literacy at the system level. You learn why liquidity matters, why confidence can vanish suddenly, and why central banks intervene in ways that often seem controversial. Those insights make it easier to interpret headlines about bank failures, emergency lending, interest rate moves, and market freezes without relying on slogans or partisan explanations. It is also useful for decision makers in business because it clarifies how short-term funding and cash management can become existential risks during stress. Compared with many similar books, Lombard Street is worth buying because it blends institutional detail with actionable principles, especially on lender of last resort behavior, rather than offering only abstract models or history without policy lessons. Its arguments remain a reference point in central banking and crisis management, and reading it equips you to evaluate modern debates with a disciplined, time-tested set of concepts that still map closely to how financial systems operate today. If you would like to support Walter Bagehot, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.